Today's Bible reading is Book of Psalms. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
All right, good to see you all, everyone. It's the fourth day of the new year. We can still wish Happy New Year, right? Happy New Year. So allow me to pray before we come to God's Word. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for this brand new year that you have given us, a gift from you. Lord, help us to be good stewards of this gift this year. Lord, we pray, Lord, even now as we come to sit under your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. We ask this, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what do we do? What do people do or mean when they wish Happy New Year? What do people mean when they wish Happy New Year? So this is for you to have a chat with the person next to you, right? What do people mean when they wish a Happy New Year? Have a chat. Maybe you don't want to wish them Happy New Year. All right, let's share a few. What do people mean when they wish a Happy New Year? Just a greeting, yeah. I got hundreds of those pictures during the first day. Yep. Anything else? Good health? Refresh us, yeah. Fresh start. Safety? Sorry? Prosperity? Yeah. Be good? Yeah. Be good? Be happy? Yeah. Good, 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 good. Keep chatting about that when you wish someone mean what you say. In the Bible, the word happy is also, the word blessed is used to describe happy, isn't it? Blessed. So I try to, when somebody wishes me Happy New Year, I reply back, Blessed New Year. So when we wish someone a Happy New Year, we are wishing them a blessed New Year, a blessed life, aren't we? A life with peace, prosperity, all what you talked about, a satisfied, content, full life, a blessed life, isn't it? And this is a theme that we're going to explore in the next few weeks over the month of January. How do we live a blessed, happy life, especially in the context of hardship, difficulties, brokenness, and darkness? Now, Psalm 1, I think, is the best place to start this journey. Not because it is the very first psalm in the Old Testament book of Psalms, But because this psalm, this song, without beating around the bush, goes straight to the point, right? Before everything else, you need to be clear about the blessed life. And it says the blessed person is a righteous person, as you read through. A person who has a right relationship with God. Do you want a happy, blessed life? Then have a relationship with God. And if you already have one, maintain it. Grow. Because everything else flows from this. So in the psalm that we're going to look at this morning, which Jason read, we're going to look at three things. The direction of the blessed, the description of the blessed, and the destiny of the blessed. What are the do's and don'ts? What does it look like to be blessed? And what's the point in living a blessed life? That's the order we're going to look at this morning. And as we go through the psalm, you will notice that the writer gives a contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous, or the wicked. He wants to make a point. He wants us to see the difference as we work through this psalm. So, the blessed person, the direction of the blessed. Now, usually when you have got a gift during Christmas, if you have got shoes or some electronic thing, or maybe if you go to the chemist and get some vitamins in a bottle, you will see a packet like this, right? Silica gel. It's a moisture absorbent, right? Now, have a look at that. If you can see, in very big print, it says what not to do, right? Do not eat, right? Do not eat. This is how Psalm 1 starts. The blessed or the righteous person does not walk, stand, or sit. That's interesting, isn't it? First, they do not walk in step with the wicked. He does not follow, learn from the wicked or the godless. His worldview, his ethical life, his morality is not shaped by the godless. This person doesn't make their decisions solely by looking at the stock market or the trends or TikTok videos or world news. This person doesn't follow what Taylor Swift does or Harry Styles like. Google or ChatGPT 5.2 is not the go-to consultant of this person. Second, the person does not stand in the way of sinners. The way of sinner means a sinful lifestyle. A lifestyle that is kind of against God, right? The blessed person doesn't play with temptations. They don't put themselves in a place, they don't stand in a place where they will be tempted to do something that dishonors God, something that will disobey God. He or she perhaps may avoid watching movies that promotes violence, nudity, or gambling. They may avoid going to the pub simply because they don't want to be tempted to drink or overdrink. They don't stand in the way of sinners. Third, they do not sit the seed of scoffers. Now, scoffers are those who mock God and His commands. Scoffers are unbelievers, practicing sinners. And when you are sitting somewhere, it conveys that you are very comfortable. I mean, you've got very comfy chairs here, isn't it? You're very comfortable. And it shows that you belong when you're seated somewhere. When the writer says the blessed one does not sit in the company of the mockers or scoffers, he's saying the blessed person does not identify with him with sinners. They're not comfortable with sin or sinners. Now, if we pause here a little bit, I think the writer wants us to see this downward spiral, right? And he wants us to see where it all begins. It begins with the counsel of the godless. You listen, you stand, and then you sit. I remember one of my friend's daughters when they moved to Australia. She loved watching Peppa Pig, right? That's when Peppa Pig was very famous. I don't know what's famous now. Morning, lunchtime, evening, she'd watch Peppa Pig all the time. And soon she started talking and walking and dancing like Peppa Pig. Now, we are like chameleons, right, sometimes? We tend to take on the color that's around us. We go with the trends. We tend to become what we read, what we watch, and what we listen to. So the advice for the blessed is to avoid the counsel of the ungodly. Instead of caving into the pressures of the world, what does he say? Take pleasure, delight in God's word, verse 2. Take delight in God's word. When we delight in something or someone, we do everything, right? To get it or be with that person. If we like, if we delight in a song, we want to sing it. If we love a book, we want to buy it and read it. If a guy loves a girl, you do everything to be with that girl, right? Well, that's what we see here from the blessed person. He gets a real kick. He finds joy, the fulfillment, the satisfaction from the Word of God, from the Torah, the Bible, so much so that he meditates day and night. You can't take him out of God's Word. Now, biblical meditation is different to all other kind of modern meditation techniques, right? It's not contentless. It is contentful. Biblical meditation is to fill our mind with God's word, to direct our thoughts towards God and God's word. Now growing up, we had cows in our home. And if you have seen a cow, it's always munching, right? It's always doing that. What they call regurgitating. It's gross, right? The things, the grass that it has eaten during the day, it brings out and then chews and kind of munches it over and over again. That's what we must do when we meditate on God's word. You might want to read it, reread it, read it in different versions, memorize it. Write it down in your own words if you like to. Think about it. Apply it. Maybe share it with someone. See, it's like you need to work the word into your life. Do whatever it takes to work the word into your life. For some of you, that could be your New Year's resolution. Spending quality time in God's word. Meditating on God's word. See, the way of the righteous, the way of the blessed person, has boundaries. No to the word of the world, and yes to the word of God. The righteous person, the blessed person, is countercultural. He or she is different, a separated one. What about the description of the blessed person? Now, if you talk to a graphic designer or an advertiser, somebody in marketing, they would tell you, if you want to tell a story, if you want to attract your customers, if you want people's attention, show them a picture. Show them a video. Because They say a picture is worth 1,000 words, right? That's why we use a lot of images in our sermons to get the point through. Here in verses 3 and 4, the writer gives us two powerful images, right? The person who says no to the word of the world and says yes to the word of God, he says, is like a tree planted by the streams of water. You see, it is planted. This is not a self-sown tree. There's deliberateness, right? And planted gives us this sense of stability, groundedness, rootedness. Now, if you're a gardener, one of the ways that you can kill a plant is not watering it, right? To keep it alive, you need to water the plants regularly, especially if it's in a pot. I mean, some of us, what we do is we water the plants. We say we water the plants because the leaves are wet, right? If you want the plant to survive at least once a week, you need to give a good soaking to the roots. The root bulb needs to get a lot of water. You see, the righteous person, the blessed person, has deliberately planted themselves beside the stream, beside the word of God. So we need to be deliberate with our decision to spend time in God's word. Plan it. Work it into your daily routines. Schedule it. It won't happen automatically. You might want to join a growth group this year. We start all the growth groups in February. Have a chat with Ed if you want to join a growth group. There are a number of growth groups during the week. Get a Bible, get an app that helps you with your Bible reading. And we should not be just satisfied with a Sunday morning, once a week sermon that just wets our leaves and just goes through our head. No, we need to be connected to the Word of God daily. The result is, yields fruit in season. Fruit could be fruit of the Spirit, the spiritual growth. There'll be growth as you spend time in God's Word. Fruit could be the fruit of the labor, the work that you do for the Lord. And notice, the fruit comes in season. It doesn't come when we want. No, it comes in His time. Second, the leaves do not wither. Even in dry, barren times, leaves stay green and lively. It doesn't mean that there are no setbacks or difficult times for a righteous or a blessed person. No, they will come. They will come. You all know that. But when sickness and tragedy and pain and death hits us, when prayers goes unanswered for years and years perhaps, what will keep the blessed person grounded, lively, and stronger is his stand on the Word of God. And third says, whatever they do prospers. There's prosperity. They will enjoy God's blessings. They will feel full, satisfied, even when they have little. See, compared to this tree, the blessed person planted by the streams, fruitful, durable, prosperous, the wicked and the godless are like chaff. The farmer collects all the grain in the field and take the winnowing fork and then puts it and just throw it up in the air, and the wind blows all the loose chaff away. And compared to the four clauses that describes the blessed person, the wicked, the godless get Only one line. Did you notice that? They're like chaff that blows by the wind. What else can you tell about chaff, right? A person who does not delight in the word of God is chaff blown away by the wind. Gives us this picture of, yes, there are two ways to live. You can be chaff, you can be a tree planted by the streams. Finally, the psalm points us forward, right? Points us forward to the destiny of the blessed person. Now, I must confess, I have lived here 16 years. I have never been to see the fireworks in the city. Anybody else who has never been to see the fireworks? Oh, that's few. There you go. Few hasn't been there. Well, I like the comfort of my lounge chair. You get a better view, right? Without the smell of gunpowder and the smell of people, the crowds and the traffic. But if you have been to the city just a couple of days or a few days before the fireworks, New Year's Eve fireworks, there were a lot of preparation, right? Hundreds of portable toilets been brought in. There are maps to say where are the best vantage points. Security in the city is beefed up. Signs are everywhere to show where you should go. Road closures are announced beforehand. Everything was telling us we are ready to host the biggest party to welcome the new year. Are you ready? Are you ready? It's coming. It's going to be big. Are you ready? I guess this is what verse 5 is stirring us about, isn't it? Judgment is coming. Are you ready? The day when the righteous and the unrighteous will stand before God, the God of the universe, where we will all have to give an account to the life that we have lived, to the judge of all the earth. And as verse 5 says, it'll be a dreadful day, sad day for the unrighteous or the godless person. Because the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. See, the psalmist is reminding the readers, the unbeliever who stands with the sinners, the unbeliever who does not stand on the word of God, will not stand on the day of judgment. They'll have no excuse. There'll be no one to defend them from the wrath of God, because they have rejected the only one who could rescue them and defend them. They'll be cut off. They won't have access to the community of God. They won't have access to eternal life with God. What a sad, dreadful, gloomy day for the unrighteous, the unbeliever. Because if they had read the word of God, if they had clung themselves to the word of God, they'll come across the good news, right? That God doesn't accept us on our own achievements. That we won't stand on our own righteousness or our own merit. That we won't stand there guiltless, sinless, because we have fully and perfectly obeyed God's word. Because we very well know that we don't. And there is nothing in our hands that we can bring to God on that day. God, here is my bargaining chip. No. We stand forgiven, blameless, guiltless, and pure because Jesus. Because he was like us in every way, right? Yet he listened to God and obeyed God fully, even in the point of dying on a cross. He did not sin. He was righteous. And we, the way of the wicked, will perish. But he was not wicked. He was righteous. The Bible says when we believe in Jesus, God imputes on us his righteousness. His righteousness he fixes on us. He covers us with his righteousness when we believe in Jesus. Jesus becomes our righteousness. He is our defense on the day of judgment. And this is the assurance that the blessed have, right, on the day of judgment. The psalmist says, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. And the righteous doesn't have to fear that day. They don't have to worry about the judgment, their destiny, because the Lord has taken the responsibility to see through the day of the judgment for them. So we worked on the letter to the Philippians a couple of months ago, last year, and we saw this, right, that the Lord has begun a good work in us. And we have the perfect assurance that he will continue it. He will make sure that we are ready for that day of judgment. God will oversee. Not just on the day of judgment, but along the way. He will watch over his people. Two pictures, right? Two pictures, two ways to live. What would you choose? What would you want to be? A tree planted by the streams, or chaff that's just blown away by the wind and then burnt? A tree planted by the streams, delighting in the word of God. Fruitful, durable, prosperous, connected to Jesus. Living with the assurance of eternity with God, or chaff. Saying no to the word of God. Saying no to Jesus. See, useless, rootless, fruitless, sinless, joyless, hopeless, and lifeless, isn't it? Awaiting eternity without God, cut off from God and his people. I know where I want to be, and I know where I don't want to be. Do you? Do you? Let's take a moment. Let's take a moment to reflect on what we've heard this morning. We are going to take part in communion in a little while. But before we do, let's prepare our hearts as well. Let's prepare our hearts as well. Confess any sins that God might have brought up today. Any weaknesses that you need God to help you with. Bring them all to God. Let's do that for a couple of minutes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us this morning, Lord, to delight in your word. The way of the blessed, the way to be blessed, Lord, to be connected to you, to be shaped by you, be loved by you, to be accepted by you. And this morning, Lord, thank you for not just reminding, thank you for rebuking some of us. And thank you for encouraging us to take steps. Steps to grow in our relationship with you. And Father, if there's anyone in the midst today or watching, listening, who doesn't have a relationship with you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus, pray, Lord, that you work in their hearts, allow the Holy Spirit to turn on that light, that spark that sees Jesus clearly. See that without Jesus, there's no hope, there's no life, there's no future. So we thank you once again for this morning, and we pray, Lord, may your Holy Spirit continue to work in our hearts even as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.